Never the same.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We're talking about becoming a black belt Christian. Becoming a black belt Christian. And hallelujah. We started off, Jeremiah and I broke a couple boards, punched through a couple boards for you to show you, you know, that's what karate people are supposed to do, right? But what are Christians supposed to do? We all have some idea of what a black belt in karate would, you know, we think we do anyway. We have some idea of what a black belt in karate would be able to do. Did I say John chapter 15? What a black belt in karate would be able to do. You know, we've all seen Bruce Lee movies. You know, we imagine, you know, like Jeremiah likes to say, you know, he says, the way of the intercepting fist. That's what Bruce Lee's type of karate or kung fu or whatever it was. His martial art is called the way of the intercepting fist. Hallelujah. So we have some idea of what karate does. We have some idea. But what does a black belt Christian look like? And the first thing I wanted you to see is that there are degrees of being a Christian. Can you see that? In other words, we saw that Jesus said that he that is least, talking about John the Baptist, he said John the Baptist was the greatest of the prophets. And then he didn't stop there. He said, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. He that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. So there are some who are the least in the kingdom of God, right? And then there are some who are not the least in the kingdom of God. They're the mediums in the kingdom of God. And then there's the ones who are the greatest in the kingdom of God. Can you see that? If there's a least, there has to be a most. Can you see that? So there are degrees of development. There are degrees of achievement in Christianity. There are degrees of strength in Christianity. Can you see that? So that was our first point. And so I wanted to start off looking at what does a black belt? That's what we're trying to get to. That's the analogy I'm using, right? A black belt in karate. We know that Bruce Lee, you know, that's what we'd like to be like. But what does a black belt Christian look like? And we said the first thing a black belt Christian looked like is he looks like his master. We saw in John chapter 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Everybody say, so shall you be. My disciples.
My disciples.
So there's a way to be his disciples. When we're his disciples, what are we doing? We're producing much fruit. When we're his disciples, what are we doing? We're bringing glory to God. God is being glorified. When we're his disciples, what are we doing? We're abiding in him. His word is abiding in us. That makes sense, right?
Yes, it does.
You know, if you're somebody's disciple, his word is abiding in you. You know what he has to say about the subject. Can you see that? You know, if you're his disciple, his word is abiding in you. You're abiding in him. Can you see that? Hallelujah. In other words, there were other people's disciples. John the Baptist had disciples. You know what? There were other rabbis that had disciples at his time. He's saying, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So shall ye be my disciples. Everybody say, so shall ye be my disciples.
So shall ye be my disciples.
When we're a black belt Christian, what's a black belt Christian? He looks like his master. Can you see that? I gave you the analogy of in karate, we're all supposed to end up looking like Nakazato Sensei, who's the top karate guy in our style of karate. If you go to our website, there's a picture of him. There's a little link. He's a big deal in Okinawa. You know, he's honored there in Okinawa. But there's different styles of karate. There's different ideas about karate. But when we get to be a black belt, we're supposed to look like Nakazato Sensei. Can you see that? We're supposed to look like him. We're not supposed to look like some other style of karate. Does that make sense? So when we become a black belt Christian, what should we look like? We should look like our master. We should look like Jesus. And that's what he's saying there, basically. Is he saying, when you're abiding in me, my words are abiding in you, you'll be producing Jesus kind of fruit, we said. You'll be my disciples. Can you see that? You'll ask and it shall be done unto you. Does that make sense to anybody? Hallelujah. So today I want to start looking at what belt are you? What belt are you? You know, in our style of karate, we go through, I think, 8 or 9 belts before we become a black belt. And so we're all in different levels of development, trying to get to be that black belt, right? And in order to pass from a white belt to a yellow belt, there's certain things that you have to do. If you don't do those things, they don't give you the yellow belt. Can you see that? In order to pass from a yellow belt to an orange belt, there's certain things that you must do. If you don't do those things, you don't get the orange belt. In order to pass from an orange to a blue, there's certain things that you have to do. If you don't do those things, you're going to be stuck on orange your whole life. Can you see that? Hello. I was reading an interesting story. It was actually a speech given by Pastor Paul Yonggi Cho. Has anybody ever heard of Paul Yonggi Cho? I think David Yonggi Cho he goes by now. But David Yonggi Cho, has nobody ever heard of him? Hallelujah. He's the pastor of the biggest church in the world. It's a Christian church in Seoul, Korea. They have like 750,000 members or something in one church. These 750,000 people come to this one, you know, building, this one. I mean, I guess it's probably several buildings, but, you know, this one place, and that's their church. And so he's the pastor of the largest Christian church in the world, 750,000 members. And he was giving a speech to a Buddhist university, and it was a business school, but it was a Buddha. I didn't know there was such a thing, but it was a Buddhist university, a business school. He's giving a speech there, and he was telling the story of how he became a Christian. And he had grown up in a Buddhist family, and he was a kid around the time of the Korean War back in the early 1950s. And there was a war between North Korea and South Korea, and the communists were trying to take over South Korea. And he and his family, they lived in South Korea. And as a result of this war, there was tremendous poverty. Him and his Seoul, North Korea is right close to the border. It's almost to the southern border of North Korea. And so when the armies of the North Koreans invaded the south, everybody in Seoul, which is the biggest city in Korea, had to flee for their lives. And their stuff was destroyed and they lost everything. And so he was in poverty with his family, and they're living in a cardboard shack, basically. And he became sick. And he said it was a thing where he would cough up blood and stuff. And apparently there was some kind of operation they'd be able to do for him in Sweden, but that might work, but they didn't have any money, so it didn't matter. And so his dad, who was a Buddhist, came to him and said, well, you know, life, death, they're all part of a cycle. The circle of life. Da 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 da. And he said, well, yeah, that's good, Dad, but I don't want to die. You know what I'm saying? And so one day a friend had brought a Christian to come minister to him, and they left him a Bible, and he began reading this Bible, and he didn't know what to make of it. He said it sounded pretty simple, simplistic almost to him. It wasn't like the Buddhist books that he read that were very logical and philosophical. This was just kind of simple things. And one day, you know, he was coughing, and the doctors had told him he only has a few months to live. And he's going to die. And so he cried out and he said, well, whoever is God, Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad, whoever, if you'll heal me, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And it was shortly after that that this person had came with the Bible and ministered to him. And he said he began to pray one day, and he just knew he was healed. He wasn't any better, but he knew he was healed. He prayed and asked Jesus to heal him, and something happened. Hallelujah. And 6 months later, he was better. A year later, he said he was completely healed. Hallelujah. So he went off to be in the ministry, went off to Bible school there in Korea. A few years later, he graduated, came back to the area where he grew up, which is the way he described it was, this was 1960 now. And so they're still recovering from this war. You know, we don't realize today, living in 2006, how prosperous everything is right now. We don't realize that back in 1960, things weren't like this. Even here in the United States, we have so much of everything here. And so it's hard for us to imagine that 10 years later, after the war, they're still living in shacks, in cardboard shacks. And so he set up his church there. He didn't even have a building, so he couldn't even afford a cardboard shack, is the way he kind of put it. And so he erected a tent, and he began to preach to people. And he says, if you'll believe in Jesus when you die, you'll go to heaven. If you don't believe in Jesus when you die, you'll go to hell. And he said, nobody came to his church. And he'd get up and he'd preach, if you believe in Jesus when you die, you'll go to heaven. If you don't believe in Jesus when you die, you'll go to hell. And so he started going around to visiting people. And one day he came to this family that were refugees from the north. 10 years later, they're still refugees. They had fled the north. He said it was a very educated woman. She had 9 kids. Her husband was a drunk. You know, he'd steal the money from his job and go and spend it on drink and stuff. And so they didn't have any food or anything. They're living in a cardboard shack. These, I guess, 11 people, the parents and 9 kids, they have nothing. He comes and knocks on her door and he says, you know, I want to invite you to my church and I'm a Christian. And he says, if you believe in Jesus, when you die, you'll go to heaven. But if you don't believe in Jesus, when you die, you'll go to hell. And she began to laugh at him. She began to laugh at him and say, well, that's easy for you to say, Mr. Preacher. How do I know that when I die, I'll go to heaven? You saying, yeah, if I believe in Jesus, when I die, I'll go to heaven. How do I know that? How do I know that that's true? He said, look around you. The mom said, look around you. I need heaven right now. I've got these 9 kids who are starving. We're living in a shack. My husband's a drunk. I don't need heaven when I die. I need heaven right now. And he said to her, well, if you don't believe in Jesus when you die, you're going to go to hell. Hell, she said. This is hell. Look, this is hell. What's the matter with you? And so anyway, he got to thinking about it, and he took her back. He took her back. She finally came to his church, you know, and they began to pray. They began to pray, and he began to pray for her that God would help her and deliver her. And within a few months, her husband had finally stopped drinking and gotten a job, and they began to prosper, and they were able to buy a home through some aid society that they had there to help the refugees. And so her life became better. But here's what I want you to see. See, that's what a black belt Christian is supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be bringing heaven to people's lives. Can you see that? Can you see that? We're supposed to be causing God's reign, God's will to show up in people's lives. Can you see that? You know, it's easy for us to sit here. Christianity, at least in the United States, has kind of devolved into arguments. You know, oh, well, you can know that the Bible's true for these X reasons. You know what I mean? You can know that the Bible is so for these X reasons. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, that's great. But in the end, all you have is an argument. Do you know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. When the prophet Elijah went up to the priest of Baal, he did not get up and say, well, you know, here's the historical reasons why we know that Yahweh is God. You know, he appeared to Moses. And we saw that, you know, the mountain shook. He didn't say that. He said, look, if your God is God, call the fire down, consume the sacrifice. If Yahweh is God, I'm going to call the fire down and consume the sacrifice. In other words, he believed that God would do something in their lives. And Christianity is supposed to do something. Christianity, if it's real, it will do something. If Christianity is real, it will do something. If what Jesus said is true, it will happen. Doesn't that make sense? If what Jesus said is true, it should happen, shouldn't it? I mean, if he was telling the truth, what he said should happen, shouldn't it? Yes. Hallelujah. And that's what a black belt Christian is, a person who brings heaven into people's lives, who causes God's will to show up in people's lives. Hallelujah. But the vast majority of Christians have stayed white belts. What's a white belt? You know, we got a white belt is the first thing we got when we started in karate. And the significance of the white belt is that it holds your clothing together. That's it. It's its whole significance. All this means is that you paid them the money for the gi. You know what I mean? It doesn't stand for anything. In the olden days, there were no color belts. Supposedly, this is the way the story goes anyway. But people would have a white belt and you'd kind of become a black belt. You know, you worked at it. You went and worked out every day. Pretty soon this white belt would become dirty and it would become a black belt. And so that's the story anyway. I don't know how much truth there is in that. But people could tell how diligent you were in your study by the condition of your white. This one's pretty white here, man. You know. But for American purposes, they came up with this idea of the color belts to sort of give people steps that they could, achieve, you know, to give them sort of a path along the way. Hallelujah. What do we want to get to? We want to become a black belt Christian. That's our job as a church. Turn to somebody and say, our job as a church is to produce black belt Christians. Say, our job as a church is to produce black belt Christians. Hallelujah. So let's go over these things real quick. We're almost out of time, but white belt. What's a white belt? Turn to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. A white belt is a Christian who is just born again. That's all there is to it. They've only been born again. They got born again and they stopped right there. They're waiting to die. They don't think there's anything more to Christianity. There's no more growth involved. Christianity is only about going to heaven when they die. They've done that. They've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But that's where they have stopped. And that, unfortunately, is like over 90% of Christianity. They've stopped at being born again. Look here in John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It all begins with being born again. When you become when you're born again as a Christian, you're a white belt. Can you see that? And we should also, at the same time, we should be filled with the Spirit. Turn to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. When you're born again, you should also be filled with the Spirit. I would call that a white belt thing, even though for most people that's a pretty big deal. Acts chapter 19. This is something that should happen at the same time that you're born again. And it came, verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, verse 2, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Everybody say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?
Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?
Turn to somebody and say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?
Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?
And then flip back over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And Jesus said this. Here's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. Here's what he's supposed to do. Here's the reason Jesus sent him in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we're supposed to receive that power. We're supposed to be born again. And we're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a white belt. Unfortunately, that's where most people stay. A yellow belt. What's a yellow belt? A yellow belt. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. A yellow belt has made a little bit more commitment than just being born again. He's done something more than just ask Jesus to be his Lord and Savior. He has made a commitment to attend church. He's made it, you know, we have lots of people who sign up for karate. They bring their kids. They sign them up for karate. They pay the entrance fee. They buy the gi, the little outfit, you know. They get their white belt, but they never show up to karate. Hallelujah. You can't grow if you don't show up to karate. Can you see that? They don't show up to the karate classes. They don't show up to the karate. They got their white belt. They got their gi, and that's it. So the second commitment, and I don't want to say that these are, you know, like hard and fast rules. I'm just trying to give you an idea of the growth. Can you see that? Does that make sense? In other words, you could be filled with the Holy Spirit when you were a black belt. Can you see what I'm saying? I think that would be kind of hard, actually, to grow without being filled with the Holy Spirit. But, you know, it's possible you could be filled with the Holy Spirit and you were already a black belt. But I'm just giving you an idea of the things that should happen in your life as you're born again. Can you see that? Hallelujah. Yellow. Yellow. I remember in Hebrews chapter 10:25, it says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Everybody say, not forsaking,
not forsaking
the assembling of ourselves together. So a yellow belt has made an additional commitment. Besides making Jesus his Lord and Savior, besides being filled with the Holy Spirit, he has committed to attend church. If you don't make that commitment, it's going to be hard to get to the rest of the belts. Can you see that? Because your initial growing is going to take place at church. Hallelujah. If you don't make a commitment to come to church, guess what? You ain't going to grow. Can you see that? Hallelujah. You know, I remember when I was first saved, when I was first born again, we used to watch Pastor Price on TV and we'd watch him on TV. And, you know, after a while, we got a car and we were able to drive to church and we went a couple times. But, you know, it was a kind of a drive from Westwood over to Inglewood, you know, and where the church was at that time. And so, you know, we didn't always go.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And sometimes, I'd get up and I'd say to call Becky and I'd say, Beck, let's go out to brunch today instead of going to church. You know what I mean? Let's get the LA Times and we'll sit in the restaurant and we'll leaf through all the pages of the LA Times. Well, I haven't made a commitment to going to church. I liked it, man. I mean, I enjoyed watching him on TV. I enjoyed being taught, but I hadn't made that commitment. Can you see that? Does that make sense to you? If you're going to have any growth, you're going to have to make that commitment. Church has to become important to you. So that's a yellow belt. An orange belt. Let's turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, an orange belt. An orange belt. In order to become an orange belt, you've been born again as a white belt. As a yellow belt, you've made a commitment to attend church. It's an important thing in your life. You've said, I'm going to church. It's an important thing. Most of you, that's where you're, you know, you've made that commitment. You know, a lot of you, you woke up this morning and you could have just as easily stayed in bed and enjoyed yourself. You know what I'm saying? But you disciplined yourself to go to church. Amen. Hallelujah. You just forced yourself. How many of you had to force yourself to come to church this morning? Put those hands down. What's the matter with you?
This morning, I'm
Miss Juanita. Hallelujah. You had to force yourself. Well, but that's the way it is with anything. With any good thing that you have in life, if you want to receive it, if you want to graduate from college, guess what? You got to go to class. You know, if you want to be in good physical shape, you got to go work out. You know what I'm saying? Everybody would love to be in great physical shape, right? But it takes discipline to do that. Discipline is the key. So you've made that commitment to go to church. And now, in order to become an orange belt, this is where we start dropping people. Hallelujah. This is an easy thing. None of these things are hard things. They just involve discipline on our part. In order to become an orange belt, You must commit to reading your Bible on a regular basis. You have to make a commitment that this Bible, that reading, just reading, at Orange Belt level, we're only concerned with you reading your Bible. I remember Marilyn Hickey told a story one time about how somebody had come to her at their church. You know, they pastor a big church, and her husband pastors a big church in Denver. And somebody who had been saved for about a year came to them and said, "Oh, God has called us to the ministry. We're going to start a church." And she said to them, "Well, have you read through the Bible yet?" You know, and they said, "Well, no, not yet." And she said, kind of joking, "Well, you know, you're probably not ready to go into the ministry if you haven't read through the Bible one time." You know what I'm saying? So to be an orange belt, in order to get to the orange belt level, you must commit to reading God's word on a regular basis. And so I remember when I was first a Christian, let's just read that scripture, 1 Peter 2:2. It says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." What will happen to Nitzia's baby? Genesis, okay. What would happen to Miss Genesis if Nitzia never fed her? You know what I'm saying? What would happen? Eventually she'd be dead, right? Hallelujah. "Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." If you have not made the commitment to read your Bible, you're not going to grow. Just it. That's just reading it. You say to yourself, "I'm going to read a chapter every day." You know, sometimes we like to make these tremendous, you know, goals and stuff. And we'll say, "I'm going to read a book of the Bible every day." Hallelujah. You know, we turn to Job. And after about 10 sentences of Job, we're thinking, "What are they talking about?" Right. We become experts in the book of Jude, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. So make yourself a commitment. "I'm going to read a chapter every day. I'm going to read a chapter. I'm going to read two chapters every day." Whatever you can handle. It doesn't matter the amount. It doesn't matter the amount. It matters the consistency. Can you see that? Just read a chapter every day. I don't care if you read 100 chapters. If you read 100 chapters one day a year, that is not as good as reading one chapter every day. Can you see that? Hallelujah. So just make that, "I'm going to read a chapter every day." The rabbis, the Jewish rabbis, they say this: "Look, if you're super busy, at least read a scripture." You know what I mean? Before you start your day, pull it out. Read a scripture. One scripture. Can you see that? But make a commitment to reading your Bible every day. Also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, in order to become an orange belt Christian, you must commit to praying in English and in the Spirit every day. If you want to grow as a Christian, you have to hang out with God. You have to hang out with God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:4, it says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself." When we pray in the Spirit, we are building ourselves up. If we're not praying in the Spirit, guess what? We ain't building ourselves. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I know most of you don't pray in the Spirit. I can tell because you ain't built up. Hallelujah. You need to pray in the Spirit every day. You need to make a commitment. I mean, if you're only, this is where I started. I'm not picking on you, right? This is where I said, every day I take my shower, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm there by myself. Nobody bothers me. Well, it used to be nobody would bother me while I was in the shower. Hallelujah. That wild wife of mine, she can't keep her hands off me. No. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. No. It's those kids, man. No matter where you go, they got to come in there. Hallelujah. So I made the commitment. I'll pray when I'm taking my shower. I'll pray in the Spirit when I'm taking my shower. So I'm taking my shower in the Spirit. I'll be praying. Asha sharagama sarakama. Oh, so soro gomo en shesheregeme. And that way I know every day, you know, at least three times a month anyway, you know, I'm going to be praying. You know what I'm saying? No, I made the commitment. Whenever I take a shower, I pray in the Spirit. Yeah. Hallelujah. If that's all you can do. When you go to bed, I'm going to pray. If that's it, I'm going to pray over my food. Just bless your food. If that's the only, if that's where you're at right now, that's the commitment you need to make. But it's consistency. It's not praying for 10 hours that's going to do you anything. It's praying for 10 years every day that's going to affect a change in your life. Can you see that? And as you keep doing these consistent things, you will grow. You won't even realize it. But you'll look back and you'll say, my God, look at how I have grown. Can you see that? So that's an orange belt. A blue belt. Blue belt. Let's skip the blue belt. No, turn over to Malachi chapter 3. This is a tough one. Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 3. In order to become a blue belt, you're going to have to commit to tithing. Malachi chapter 3 verse 8, it says this. Will a man rob God? Turn to somebody and say, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, what are you talking about, God? We haven't robbed you. Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to, in order to become a blue belt Christian, you have to commit to tithing. You have, this is really, in my opinion, this is one of the most important steps that a person makes in their Christian growth. I don't like to talk about it a lot because, you know, it comes off kind of like I'm being self-serving. But there is a tremendous thing that happens in your life when you commit your money to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about, you know, you're going to win the lottery tomorrow. That's what some people, I remember this one person that, you know, they started tithing and God gave their husband a promotion and they were able to buy a second house and all this. And she, oh, God's never prospered me. I wanted to hit her upside the head. She meant God isn't, I haven't won the lottery yet. Well, you weren't playing the lottery. Maybe that's why. No, God's not talking about lottery. He's talking about growing. He's talking about prospering. Can you see that? Hallelujah. When your kids need your help, you know, when they need healing, when they need favor, you know, sometimes all the money in the world isn't going to do you any good. You need God to do something for right. you. Can you see
Hallelujah.
That? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, so, but there's something about making that commitment of your money that attaches you to God. You're attached to Him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You have made a serious commitment. You've made a serious sacrifice, and as a result, you're hooked up to God. Hallelujah. You can see it in people. You can see it. We can see, you know, oh, look at these people have started tithing. Look, wow, they're more committed to the things of God. A change has happened in their life. So in order to become a blue belt, you have to commit to tithing. You also have to commit to helping in the church. You know, in Acts chapter 6, let me read it real quick. It says this. It says in verse 1, Acts chapter 6, verse 1, helping in the church. In order to become a blue belt, you have to commit to helping in the church. And in those days, you know, some people get mad at me when I was shocked. There were several people who got mad at us when we started talking about people helping in the church. And I thought, my God, they'd kick you out of the Little League for not helping. You know what I'm saying?
That's right, that's right.
You show up to Pop Warner and you say, oh, no, I don't help. I just watch. You'd be in trouble. You know what I'm saying? But when all of a sudden God says you better help. Oh, no, no, no. No, I pay my tithes. I don't do anything. Hallelujah. Look, Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians among the Hebrews. In other words, there were Greek Jews and there were Hebrew Jews, Jews who grew up there in Israel, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministrations. Verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it doesn't make no sense that we should leave the apostles, the 12 apostles, that we should leave the word of God to serve tables, to be waiters, to distribute the food. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And skip down to verse 7 and see what happened when they followed that instruction. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So to be a blue belt, you have to do what? You have to commit to tithe. You have to commit to helping church. Now, I'm going to probably stop right now. but let me say this before we go on. You know those things I just read to you? White belt, yellow belt, orange belt, blue belt things. You know those are just the normal commitments that a committed person would make to anything. Do you know what I'm saying? If you were committed to the Little League, these are just the normal things. These are not... Woo, big thing. If you were committed to the Optimist Club, these are the things that you would do. You know, you'd show up to the Optimist Club. You'd help them out. You'd put your money in the Optimist Club. Can you see that? These are not big, super spiritual things. These are just the normal things. Can you see that? This is just the normal things that a good person does when they belong to some organization. These are not superhuman. But you know that the vast majority, that 95% of Christians would not qualify for a blue belt? Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, 95% of Christians would not qualify for a blue belt. Hallelujah. So with the green, next for us is green with white stripe. A green with white stripe. And in order to get a green with white stripe as a Christian, now begins the more spiritual growth things. You're committed. You're committed to the church. You're committed to the kingdom of God. You're growing. You're doing things. You're committed to God's word. But now you're going to have to begin growing more spiritually. And so in order to get a green and white belt, you must meditate in God's word. You have to begin to meditate in God's word. You have to begin to spend some more time in God's word. Before, you're just reading a little bit every day. Can you see that? You say, I'm going to read a chapter. Now you're meditating in God's word. What do I mean by that? Well, when I first started out, when we were first Christian, I used to like to, I don't know why I did this, but I don't think anybody told us to do this, but we just kind of had this idea. I'd write all these scriptures down on 3x5 cards. You know, and I'd find a scripture that I liked and I'd write it down on this 3x5 card. I have never in my life purposed to memorize anything in the Bible. I just, you know, through going over it and over it, you end up memorizing it. But I've never sat down just to memorize anything. I know a lot of scripture, but I've never sat down to memorize it. It's just in meditating on it and going over it because it's important to me. I learn it. Can you see that? And so I had a stack of cards about this thick eventually. I'd find a scripture I'd like, I'd write it down. And I'd sit there and I'd go through these cards, just kind of reminding myself what was in the Bible. I'm meditating on God's word. Can you see that? Now, you know, to this day, I'll sit down, I'll take those little, you know, we have those little things with scriptures we give out from time to time. See, I have it right here. And this one has prosperity scriptures. I'll just sit down and right now it's on, this isn't where it was, obviously. But this is, I'll usually leave it where I'm at and then I'll pick it up the next day and start there. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13. I'll go to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13. What is that one? It sounds like a working scripture, man. Proverbs chapter 20. Anybody know what Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13? Uh-oh. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13. Love not sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Lest thou... I'm just giving Rocky a hard time. Love not sleep. You should have heard what those guys were saying about you in the truck, Mr. Rocky. I had to defend that Donald, man. I tell you. It says, love not... No, Kim and Rocky took the teenagers up to Universal Studios last night. They didn't bring them home till after midnight, so... They're taking it easy this morning. It says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. And so I meditate on that. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes and thou shalt be filled with bread. And I'll meditate on these things. In order to get a green and white belt, you're going to have to begin to meditate in God's Word. You're going to have to begin going over it in your mind. You're going to have to begin thinking about it until those things begin to become alive to you. And when they become alive to you, that's when you really start growing. Hallelujah. Can you see that? Meditating in God's Word. Also, in order to become a green and white stripe, you have to learn, and these are related, you have to learn to control your thought life. You have to learn to control your thought life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it tells us that we are to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Those two things are related. Listen to me. I've been a Christian for quite a number of years, and I'm still having to control my thought life. I'm still, you know, the other day I was at a restaurant, and somebody who had done us wrong, you know, came into the restaurant. And I didn't see him at first. I'm sitting there. Chrissy is giving me a hard time. It's just me and Chrissy and, a Taco Bell. And we were getting our car fixed at the Honda place, and so we went over to have lunch at Taco Bell, and there was somebody in there that had done us a bad deed. And my first thought was, oh, lightning, come from the heavens and devour them. Shall we call lightning down, Lord? You know? Hallelujah. But as soon as I did that, I said, no. I take no account of the evil done to me. I pay no attention to who has suffered wrong. I am not touchy or fretful or resentful. All that I just said is the scriptures, right? It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so the thought comes to me, get him! I replace that thought with, no, I take no account of the evil done to me. I pay no attention to a suffered wrong. I'm not touchy. And, you know, when I start doing that, I have no antagonism towards them. Hallelujah. It leaves. But if I begin meditating on what they've done, guess what? It's going to stir it up on the inside of me. Can you see that? Hallelujah. That's what it takes to grow as a Christian. You've got to meditate in God's Word. You've got to learn to control your thought life. If you don't control your thought life will control you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're depressed, if you're discouraged, if you're down, it's because you're not controlling your thought life. Can you see that? If you're upset, if you're angry, if you're not full of joy, it's because, you know, I'm not controlling my thought life. Can you see that? Hallelujah. The thoughts of fear come. The thoughts of destruction come. The thoughts of defeat come. And you just accept those things. Hallelujah. And they're going to affect your life. Can you see that? When you see people who are depressed, they're down, it's thoughts that are doing that to their life. Can you see that? Hallelujah. So in order to become a green with a white stripe, you must meditate on the Word, and you have to learn to control your thought life. I'm sorry I went so long.